During this season of Lent, we're looking together at the Psalms of Ascents, Psalms 120 through 134, songs that Israel would sing on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem for various feast times. And today, we're looking together at Psalm 124, Psalm 124. It's found on page 966. Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when people attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We've escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I'm not sure he was talking about the fears that grip 19-plus million U.S. adults. People have genuine fears, treatable fears, but fears nonetheless. There are any number of things people can fear, but here are some of the most common. Misophobia, the fear of germs and dirt. Aerophobia, the fear of flying, or my personal favorite, claustrophobia, the fear of confined places. But there are other fears that seem less common. Astrophobia, the fear of thunder and lightning. Trypophobia, the fear of holes. That was a new one to me. Or trypanophobia, the fear of needles. And then there are the creaturely fears. Electorophobia, the fear of chickens. Or xenophobia, the fear of dogs. And then the two top fears in the world, ophidiophobia, the fear of snakes, and arachnophobia, the fear of spiders, which, by the way, affects 1 in 3 women and about 1 in 4 men. When it comes to fear, perhaps Psalm 124 is a good antidote. When you find yourself in a panic, well, Psalm 124 says, remember, God's right there. The thing about fear is that it has a way of catching us off guard. Sometimes you unexpectedly find yourself with your back against the wall. You feel thrust into a predicament. Just consider the images from Psalm 124. Attacked, swallowed alive, anger flared, flood engulfed, swept over, swept away. Life has a way of shocking us. One author notes that we live in a culture of fear. He suggests that since 9/11, we've been engaged in fear-based thinking. In part, he explains, it's led to a dramatic rise in gun sales. He says we're afraid and we want something really concrete, something secure that we think will guard us. Even people in the church can adopt the motto, trust but verify, because we can so easily mistrust everything. The church, government, groups of people like immigrants, doctors, lawyers, police officers, drug manufacturers, and so on. Fear-based thinking wants a guarantee, an ironclad guarantee. We want everything tied up in a nice, neat package. Guaranteed election, guaranteed salvation. We even want to be certain of the date when Jesus will return. We don't want surprises. Nothing catching us off guard. A photographer for a national magazine was assigned to cover a forest fire, and he needed a plane in order to get a good look. And his editor assured him that when he got to the airport, one would be there waiting for him. When the photographer arrived at the small rural airport, there was a plane warming up near the runway. He jumped in, equipment in tow, and yelled, "Let's go! Let's go!" The pilot swung the plane around, taxied to the end of the runway, revved up, and off they went. And soon they were in the air. "Fly over the north side of the fire," said the photographer, and the pilot complied. "Now," he said, "I want you to make 3 or 4 low passes, get real near the fire." And the pilot asked, "Why?" Why? Exclaimed the photographer. Why? Because I'm going to take pictures. Look, I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures. And the pilot paused and then said, oh, you're not the instructor. I guess you're not here to help me with landings today. Fear can take hold of us because it catches us by surprise. We're trapped before we even realize it. We don't know how we got into such a mess, and we aren't sure how we're going to get out. Look at Psalm 124 again. People attacked us. They would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Talks about a twofold problem here. First, there's this overwhelming attack. Human beings arose against Israel. Literally, some enemy threatened to swallow up Israel like a monster. Imagine a dragon with thick skin, fiery mouth, lashing serpentine tail, and an insatiable appetite. Anger lashing out, ready to consume. And second, there's a picture of a flood, an unexpected flood, like the recent mudslides in Southern California. In the open country of Israel, flooding was a great danger. A sudden storm could fill a series of interconnected gullies, and soon a torrential flash flood is produced. An invading army could unexpectedly overwhelm the nation with chaos. In fact, Israel's story had just such an episode when they were escaping Pharaoh. Moses, you'll remember, had confronted the Pharaoh of Egypt to demand Israel's release. And through a series of plagues, culminating with the angel of death sent to kill the firstborn, Pharaoh's stubborn disregard was broken down. He finally relented, and he let the people of Israel go free. But no sooner did they leave, and Pharaoh changed his mind. And he's beside himself with anger, and he sets out to hunt them down. Now, the people of Israel have made it to the Red Sea. They're right up against the shores of the water. And then suddenly, they hear the sounds of an army approaching, and it's Pharaoh with an army of charioteers racing toward them, and fear grips them. Their back is up against the wall. They don't know where to turn, and they cry out to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt you brought us out here in the desert to die?" They seemed as helpless as a rabbit in a pack of dogs. Fear has this way of catching us off guard. Life brings pain. Bullying at school. Cancer reappears. A child dies suddenly. Marriage faces rocky times. And suddenly we're overwhelmed by trouble with no apparent escape. That's the way of fear. It can overwhelm us. The antidote to fear is faith. Psalm 124 sounds a robust testimony of faith. If the Lord had not been on our side, the whole community joined together in saying it. If the Lord had not been our side, God comes through. God's the great deliverer. God's on our side, said Israel. Now I know, some of you might think that's arrogant. I mean, it seems problematic. Who are we to say that God is on our side? Well, note, Psalm 124 is not saying God is on our side as they look forward. No, Psalm 124 is a worship that looks backward. They look back at what did happen. They know that God was on their side because otherwise they would have been slaughtered. Notice the ifs. If the Lord had not been on our side, the psalmist proclaims the Lord's presence, almost shuddering at the thought of God not being there. If the Lord had not been on our side, imagine what could have happened. They had faced absolute defeat, and the Lord had brought them through. One author captures the essence of these verses. He says, Israel was up against a force of evil so darkly primitive and brutally powerful, they could not possibly defeat it. But they did. And that's how they knew Yahweh was on their side. This claim is not a blood-curdling war cry. It's the grateful whisper of the miraculously delivered. Of course, we do have to be careful with such testimony. We must be careful to discern if God is being our Savior or if we're just getting our own selfish way. For instance, just because Ripping Christian won sectional titles in boys and girls basketball, congratulations, by the way, doesn't mean that we should conclude God was on our side. That would be a misplaced testimony. No longer a faith, but simply a stating of we getting what we wanted. Are we to conclude that the other team didn't have God on their side? Or that families struck by family tragedy don't have God on their side? Or when people are confronted with bankruptcy, they don't have God on their side? Or when they're hit by catastrophe, they don't have God on their side? My in-laws live in Florida, and after one hurricane hit, my mother-in-law emailed. She wanted to let us know they were okay. The hurricane was supposed to hit where they lived, and instead it turned and it went inland and well south of them. And she was thankful that the hurricane's 140-mile-an-hour plus winds missed them. She wrote, "I feel so sorry for those people. It could have been us. The Lord was with us." Now, I don't think my mother-in-law was saying the Lord wasn't with those who had suffered. No, she was simply giving thanks. She was testifying in faith that she felt the Lord was on her side, that God had kept her safe. See, Psalm 124 makes a bold statement of faith. Psalm 124 doesn't apologize for God. Psalm 124 witnesses in faith to God's saving presence. It's a testimony. It doesn't have to prove anything about God. Psalm 124 simply sings of God's help if the Lord had not been on our side. We don't have to defend God. We're called to tell simply what God has done. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We've escaped. The snare has been broken. Someone once defined a testimony as telling about the mess that we were in and how God lifted us out of the mess. Psalm 124 reminds us that we don't need to justify God if things seem unfair. One author noted, God doesn't need a press secretary. We aren't clerks in the complaint department for those who are offended by God. No, our role is to tell what God has done for us. That's faith. Telling what God has done for us despite the tragedy. We take on faith and we give up our fears. Hurricane Charley hit Punta Gorda, Florida in 2004, and Pastor Tom Moore of the Harbor Breeze Baptist Church went out to survey the damage that had been done. Their congregation used to meet in the Bay Front Center, and now that center was just a pile of rubble. 20 members were able to gather in the parking lot on that Sunday after the hurricane. Moore noted that the people had been praying desperate prayers. They were not polite prayers. Their prayers were, "Lord, help me now." And then ruin hit. Still, in the wake of all of the destruction, in all of the destruction that his people had experienced, Moore noted this. He says, "Just being here this morning is a miracle. And God has answered our prayers. Folks, we've looked into the eye of the storm, and I think we can become better for it." His sense was that God had been with them through it all. The people realized that their faith in God had endured. That what mattered most to them was their relationship with God. That despite all of the destruction that had happened around them, they had withstood the storm in God's presence. Moore said, "Those that rode out the storm are extremely grateful. Their faith proved stronger than their fear, a fear of any hurricane winds." That's Psalm 124. A testimony of what God has done. Psalm 124 reorients our eyes to witness God's help. Those who hear the testimony are moved to wonder about God. The person who wrote this psalm faced danger full in the face, and he came out saying, "If the Lord had not been with us." After you read Psalm 124, says Eugene Peterson, no longer does it seem of the highest priority to ask, why did this happen to me? Why do I feel left in the lurch? Instead, he says, we ask, how does it happen that there are people who sing with such confidence, God is our help? That's the mystery of Christian faith. We should have been swallowed up by fire. We should have drowned in the floods. But strength isn't in the fire or the flood. Strength isn't in the cancer or even in the death. When I saw Judy Postma yesterday, her first words were, I'm doing okay. God has been so good. She was living in faith. We live in the strength of faith. If the Lord had not been on our side, our strength is in the Lord, and we take on faith and we give up fear by testifying to what God has done, testifying to the fact that God is on our side. Because God makes a way where there is no way. Psalm 124 isn't about somebody in the good life. It's about surviving the worst. It's about knowing that life brings its worst, and in that time, we discover God at God's best. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If we're honest, we recognize that Christianity is hazardous work. Maybe nobody told you that it was going to be that way. It's hard to be faithful. Being a Christian is hazardous work. Eugene Peterson notes the difficulty. He says, each day, he says, we put faith on the line. We've never seen God, and yet despite our world's desire for some kind of proof that we can touch and feel and see and hear, we make the center of our lives a God that we cannot scientifically analyze. Each day, we put hope on the line. I mean, who knows what the future holds? Sometimes it does look bleak. I mean, I don't know what will happen in the next hour. I do know this. Whatever happens, God will accomplish what God wants. And each day, we put love on the line. In a world of competition, when called to put ourselves first to get what we want, Jesus invites us to love first. So whenever we set aside our pride and ourselves and we pursue love, we take a risk for God. But we're not alone in this hazardous work. Psalm 124 tells us our help is in the name of the Lord. Despite the hazard, God is there. When the people of Israel were about to pack it in, Pharaoh on their tail, the raging waters on the other side, they were caught in the middle, filled with fear. And Moses called the people to put their faith, their hope, and their love on the line. Moses said, don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Only God can make a way out of no way. Only God, the creator of all things. Only God, the gracious provider of everything we need. Only God, whose power raised Jesus from the grave. Just when it seems we're caught in the snare, when the world closes in around us, when the darkness cuts off every avenue of escape, here's our salvation. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God makes a way out of no way. In her book, The God Hunt, Karen Maines tells a powerful story. She tells of an atheist couple who raised a daughter in an atheist home. The daughter had never heard about the church, never heard about God, never heard about Jesus Christ. She had no idea that there was such a thing as a heavenly father. And one night when this little girl was 5 years old, her parents fought violently. Their argument was so vicious that the father took out a gun and shot the mother. And then he turned the gun on himself and pulled the trigger. The 5-year-old daughter was there through it all. As it happened, the traumatized girl was placed in a Christian foster home. And one Sunday, the foster mom brought the little girl to Sunday school. She told the teacher how the girl had never heard of Jesus, was in great pain, and just needed lots of patient love. And at one point in the class, the teacher held up an illustration of Jesus and said, "Does anybody know who this is?" And to the teacher's surprise, the little girl raised her hand. "I do," she said. "I know who that is. That's the man who was holding me so close the night my parents died." Friends, our help is the Lord. Only God makes a way when there is no way. If the Lord had not been on our side. Can you say those words with me? If the Lord had not been on our side. He is, you know. And that changes everything. Our Lord takes us through the troubles of life. Our Lord brings us through the day, whatever the day holds. Our Lord is with us to put our faith, hope, and love on the line. And there is nothing, nothing in this whole world, not sickness, not sorrow, not pain, not even death, that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Even when you feel trapped, when it seems there's no way out, our Lord will make a way. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Can you say those words with me? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And we meet the Lord, our help, at this table. You know, here we're reminded, and here again we see and we experience the Lord making a way where there was no way. Our Lord Jesus was caught in the ultimate trap of the cross and death, and yet God rescued him from death through the resurrection. And by his death and his resurrection, we also are rescued from the trials and persecution that we might face. When difficulty enters our lives, we find that the Lord is our help. Therefore, we lift up our hearts in thanks and praise, and we give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice for us to do until he comes again. At his Last Supper, the Lord Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." Then he also took a cup after supper. When you give thanks, he said, "This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death. We proclaim that life is in him. We proclaim our faith and put aside all fears. We proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ." Let's pray together. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Savior, Jesus our Lord. Amen.